The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
If you can't convince them, just confuse them. This is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Second hour of the Peter Boyles Show, still dark 30 here in Denver. High today around 53 with maybe some snow rolling in overnight. We'll see some overnight lows in the 20s. So definite cool down here in Colorado. Should get up to 65 with a whole lot of sunshine by Saturday, though, so hang in there. The weekend is coming. We are at hump day, and so glad that our guest, C.L. Bryant, was willing to stay with us for a few minutes. C.L., I know that you live in Louisiana, and you spend a lot of time there. With regard to the president's rally in, Lake Charles, Louisiana, another one of those masterfully handled and packed, standing room only, and lines around the block and all over the neighborhood outside the event facility. But the impact of the president's visit there really did seem to create some real drama in the elections going on in Louisiana. What's going on the ground there? Are we going to have a Republican governor in Louisiana this year?
It looks as though we very well could. Louisiana, as some of you may know, is the only southern state in the union that has a Democrat governor in a southern state. And it looks as though Eddie Rasponi, who is the president's pick to be governor of Louisiana, very well could mount a great effort against the incumbent John Bel Edwards. And that race is coming along real good. It'll give us all an idea of how long the president's coattails are. It looks like his coattails are real strong.
You're a former Democrat, former NAACP president, now always a Christian in your life. That's where the conflict began to become very apparent to you. You're a conservative now, a black man. Is the message getting into the black community, the employment status, the equal opportunity for all? What do you see on the ground? What do you feel?
Randy, I crisscross this nation once a month, almost every month, traveling with my duties with Freedom Works. In fact, folks, go to freedomworks.org, freedomworks.org. I am seeing more and more black people show up at rallies and speeches that I give and events that we put on these days than I have ever before. There are many times 10 years ago on this trek when I first started my journey with Freedom Works that I would show up at rallies and I would be the only black person there. Now that is not the case whatsoever. I think a great surprise is about to be unfolded and revealed to the Democrat Party come this 2020 election. And the important thing is that you don't have to peel off 50% or 20% of the black vote in order to totally shift the momentum of that black vote. You only have to peel off about 8 to 10% of that vote. And it looks as though that is going to create a landslide, an absolute landslide for Donald John Trump. The Democrats know that their time is short, just like Satan realizes his time is short. And so they are extra busy right now trying to get accomplished things that they know will be detrimental and fundamentally changing to this country.
Of course, all you hear and see in the media is the left-wing lunacy on college campuses. We've got a left-wing college here in Colorado, Colorado State University. It's up in Fort Collins. Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA had an event there last night. And prior to the event, the president of the college was trying to tie Charlie Kirk and his organization, Donald Trump Jr., who was also a guest last night, to white supremacy. And yet I heard Charlie Kirk this morning before this show started on Fox News talking about the thousands of people that turned out and many who could not get in. I've had listeners send in pictures from inside the event. on Twitter, you can see a video of the huge line of college-age students wanting to get in and hear this conservative message. And, boy, what a powerful contrast that is, even though you'll never hear it on the news. What's really going on the ground is why the Democrats are acting so scared.
The Democrats are so afraid. They are absolutely the taste in their mouth is absolutely dried up. They only have accusation, innuendo to play with. I know Charlie Kirk. I know Don Jr. And let me tell you something. Pictures tell a tale that words cannot. And when you see college kids lined up and ready to pack a place where Charlie Kirk is and Don Jr. are, then what I told you before is absolutely coming about. Although a year, Randy, all of us must proceed with great cautions, but with great vigilance as well, because a year in politics is absolutely an eternity when it comes to headed down this road to 2020. Anything can happen. So we must be vigilant and let's pray for the president by all means and trust that God will order his steps and order the words that come from his mouth. That, he's going to be attacked either way it goes. Trump's going to be Trump. There's no question about that. But just the same, let's be vigilant because a year in this game is a long, long time.
Sure is. Encourage everybody to follow my good friend, the Reverend C.L. Bryant at the clbryantshow.com. C.L., send me some information about your new documentary. Let me look into that a little bit. We'll have you back on and see if we can drive some attention to your new work on Skid Row. Would really appreciate it.
We certainly do appreciate it. And follow me on Twitter at Rev, R-E-V, C-L Bryant. And thank you so much for having me on with you, Randy. Look forward to seeing you soon, brother.
Yeah, hope we get you out to Colorado sometime real soon. You take care. All right, let's get across the pond right now. We figured out how to do it. We threaded the needle, and we found her. Not that she's too hard to find. Boy, I'll tell you what, Katie Hopkins speaks her mind every opportunity she gets. We had her in Colorado just a couple of weeks ago now, and it was a fantastic packed event. Thanks to Regina Thompson for putting that together, and she's hooked us up again today. I guess it's afternoon over there where you are, Katie. Good afternoon, and welcome back to Denver.
Oh, thank you very much, and a very good morning to all your listeners. Yeah, afternoon here, and where we're at right now in the UK, Brexit Britain, the battle is still underway. Right now in our Houses of Parliament, politicians are still prevaricating over how, whether, when, whatever we get to leave the EU. So that's occupying the news headlines right now here in Brexit Britain.
It's incredible, and it was one of the primary reasons I wanted to try and get you on. You predicted in Denver a couple of weeks ago that Boris Johnson would get this done and get it done by the end of the month. He's done everything humanly possible to try and make that happen with, what is it, the 23rd. We've only got 1 day and 1 week to go. Where do you think we're going to be by the end of October?
Yeah, my confidence levels have edged away. I'm still, I've still stood by my we're out on the 31st, but I have to say, with what Boris is now up against, it's gone beyond all reason or rationale. So we've had politicians on the other side. They don't want Brexit to happen, but nor will they agree to a general election where, they could put themselves back to the voters for an ultimate test. They won't agree to that. It's almost like they've got Boris Johnson trapped in a room and he can't get out. He can't get a Brexit deal over the line. They won't give him a general election. It's almost like, they're tormenting the beast. And at the same time, of course, they're tormenting the rest of Great Britain. And actually, so many people now, if you just go out and about on the streets, there is such fatigue over Brexit, with small business owners just need certainty. They still don't have it. And the regular man or woman in the street is just sick of this whole thing. 3.5 years we have waited for the will of the people to be carried out. It has not been. So really, we can call this a fight over Brexit, which is about leaving this institution called the EU, the European Union, but really this is now a fight for democracy, and it does look like it's on a knife edge as to whether Brexit will actually ever happen. So, you know, big consequences for me, because I set myself a pledge to the nation, and we don't need to necessarily go into the details of that right now as to what I might do if we didn't get it, but yeah.
It is a little early for that, and one of our regular listeners just texted into the show, Katie, woohoo, no consuming any liquids, because she knows you're likely to make somebody spit them.
She'll know my pledge.
What can the people of Britain do? They've turned out with massive protests, but you said people are getting burned out with it. It's just such an ominous example of what the globalists and the people who are insist, no matter what the citizens say, in maintaining that control, the levels and efforts they will go through to make sure that it's their way or the highway, not the will of the people.
That's exactly right. And I think this is the much more, you know, the interesting theme in all of this. If I take myself away from the horror of Britain and it being stuck in this quagmire with no way out to get out of the EU or even get out of this political impasse. If you look across this planet of ours, you know, nation to nation, look at Hong Kong, those people protesting because they want their freedoms. You know, you've got rioters on the street in nearly every country, usually protesting for democracy, for freedom, and yet always that being oppressed and pushed back, the gilets jaunes in France. You know, people are rising up, the Catalonians in Spain, you know, being beaten and battered by the state police. People want democracy, they want freedoms, and it's the globalists that are controlling us and pushing us back down. And that's really the sentiment you get on the streets of the UK and in many of these European countries. So, you know, that is where we're at right now. And I do feel, I don't know, there is a sort of quieter side to this as well. There is a quiet sadness about it because, you know, we really want, I know Americans feel this way, absolutely, especially when you have things like ballots go missing or counting seems to go awry. You know, we really want to believe in democracy. We really want genuinely to believe that when we put our cross in the box or we go and, you know, make our vote, we want to believe that that matters. It's the one time we have a say. I think it's something really precious. And I think just like so many things, if we lose that and lose faith in that, we've lost much more than just, you know, our vote. We've lost our belief in the system that we live under.
We see a parallel here in the United States for sure. Ever since the election of Donald Trump, the left has continued to come up with scandal after scandal to try and wrap around his neck, violation after violation to try and support their impeachment mantra, an impeachment that was promised back right at the point of his election. First thing we've got to do is impeach this president. We've got to get him out of here. The power of a president apparently is much, much greater than that of a prime minister, because in spite of relentless pushback from Democrats and a good deal of the Republicans, the people that are supposed to be on his team as well, the president has found ways to advance his agenda really at a remarkable pace over here. But the governmental system in Britain is much, much different, isn't it?
Yeah, much more, much different. We also don't have, you know, what we need at this moment, what America has needed is this brazenness that Trump has, this ability to connect with people direct. Twitter clearly had a role in that. But these almighty rallies that he has, I mean, that's just spine-tinglingly brilliant to see, because despite the narrative in all of the media, you know, just watching Minnesota, Minneapolis, the overflow car parks, you know, filled with another 100,000 people, that's really the messaging around the fact that the Democrats know they can't beat him. Their only option in the absence of a decent candidate, which they still haven't managed to find, is impeachment. And yes, absolutely, Trump has powers that our politicians absolutely do not. But I really feel as well, when I left you, I was trying to persuade you to become my fourth or fifth husband, I think, at that point. But when I left you, interestingly, I went to L.A. And I decided to do stand-up one night. I tried my hand at stand-up, first time I've ever done it. And I stood there in the heart of L.A., so enemy territory in terms of being Democrat-run, allegedly. And I said, listen, I'm a white Christian conservative Trump supporter. And do you know that after I finished and other comedians came up to tell me, actually, they support Trump as well. They can't tell anyone. They can't let that out. It's a secret they have to keep in California if they want to keep a job. But there are so many conservatives in California and secret conservatives throughout America. You know, I think that's the other real excitement about 2020 is that there is a possibility for an enormous Trump win. And I just am holding on to that for hope.
And the Trump victory in 2016 and Trump's behavior, his the speech, the very first speech he gave to the UN where he called out the leaders of Muslim countries to, you know, force a reformation of Islam and just the way that he addresses people so bluntly and directly, always understanding that he's the president of the United States, not the president of the world. So he's looking out for our interests, also with the knowledge that when America does well, the rest of the world does well economically, security-wise, et cetera. Yep. And it has seemed to me that he really has spawned a great deal of this populist success in other countries.
Oh, he has. And this is what I always say to Americans, you know, A, if you're out there and you're listening, you know, you're not alone. It can feel very lonely being a conservative. You are not alone. You belong to something, which is the Trump and Conservative America network, but you belong to something so much bigger than that. You know, the Hong Kong protesters are flying the American flag.
Incredible.
For a reason. Salvini in Italy is leading the populist charge because of Trump. You know, people have hope for Brexit and Boris because of Trump and America. And you have your constitution, which I've placed by my children's bedsides, because your First and Second Amendment is the thing that we all have to look after and cherish. We're all part of fighting for that. I think it's so important. And also, you know, America is the place, in my opinion, the most dangerous woman, in fact, person in America right now is Ilhan Omar. She's just been speaking out about Kashmir and kind of rallying the mob or rabble-raising the Muslim mob about stuff that's going on in India and Pakistan. We have that exact same thing happening in the UK, where we have a large Pakistani population. They are planning a protest again on the 27th of October. Last time they defaced the Indian embassy. And we're very connected. When Ilhan Omar rabble-raises in Congress, we see the results of that with the Pakistani mob here in the UK. So you've got Trump and then, in my opinion, the most dangerous woman. And we need Trump and Americans to stand strong with their presidents, because we face the consequences of people like Ilhan Omar.
For folks who haven't heard this story before, you mentioned First and Second Amendment. Obviously, without a Second Amendment, the citizens of the United States will continually have their First Amendment rights chipped away. We already see the onslaughts and attacks against the free exercise of people's religious choices here in the United States. But you have seen that process of chipping away at people's right to express their opinion, to disagree with the powers that be. You've seen that in your own home. Talk about the visit to your house over something that others found controversial that you said.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the most recent one, I haven't really spoken about this at great length yet because it's just in the last week and I'm just dealing with complaints now, is because I was articulating on Twitter without any kind of commentary from me. I was just highlighting that yet another majority Pakistani Muslim rape squad, you know, these gangs of men that target our white girls, young white girls under the age of kind of 14. Another of those gangs of men are in court at the moment, facing trial for abusing our children. I was highlighting that. And as a consequence, local police force was sent, dispatched to my home when my husband was just out doing a swim run. You know, we're a very normal family here. The police came to my door. They questioned my children in the absence of an adult. And they were basically wanting to come after me because the same judge that sent Tommy Robinson, many of your listeners will be familiar with the name Tommy Robinson, imprisoned for speaking out, The same judge that imprisoned Tommy Robinson was threatening me with the same action if I didn't stop speaking about these Pakistani Muslim rape squads. So that's just last week. And of course, you know, in a bigger sense of things, I've been arrested for a column in a national newspaper highlighting the migrant crisis. I've been interviewed under caution by the Metropolitan Police for my views on immigrants. And I have been banned from South Africa for trying to expose the white genocide going on there. So certainly I would be seen as somebody whose head is well above the parapet and who is often either arrested or faces police kind of intimidation to try and close down what I say. And so definitely we are, you know, I see how that's being chipped away here, but then overnight I hear about the case in Texas where the mother has just won in the court to say that she can transition her seven-year-old son into a girl against the father's wishes. And so what my fear is, of course, where we go, America follows. And I think that ruling is a very, very dark ruling for America, that a court can overrule a father's wishes and talk about transitioning their child without the father's consent. I mean, these are crazy times, and we do wonder, I think, don't we, when will the pendulum swing back to common sense?
We're going to push this break just a couple more minutes. I don't want to ask you to stay over through a break, but put on your prognosticator's hat. I know you have been very optimistic about Brexit. Boris Johnson has done everything in his power. The globalists still finding a way to delay that. Your view from across the ocean to American politics, does Donald Trump survive the 24-hour-a-day, round-the-clock mainstream media, squishy Republican assaults and attacks on every decision and every word, and win re-election, and therefore buy us a few more years, really worldwide, to continue pushing back against this globalist agenda?
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right in your articulation there. What we're buying ourselves is a kind of last stand. We're buying ourselves a sort of breathing space. You know, my country is overrun. We are majority Muslim by 2050. So I only have 30 years left, effectively, in this country before my children are a minority in my own land. So Trump absolutely buys us time. I believe he will win. And the reason I believe that so much is because of this. You know, I spend a lot of time on pavements, on sidewalks, with normal people, at the checkout, in supermarkets. You know, those are the people that matter. And this hum that you can feel, this sort of, these people that can't speak out because they need to protect their jobs, they need to pay their mortgage, but they know how they feel. They want to defend their country. They want to defend their constitution. And I believe they will get out in their millions to vote for Donald Trump. And I think the one thing that's key, I really believe this, in a sort of, Donald Trump is a emotionally based individual. The more that we show support for him on Twitter, turning up to rallies, those people standing in the car parks, in the backyards of these rallies, it really matters. You matter, because we need to give him the strength to be able to continue. I mean, goodness knows how he gets out of bed in the morning and faces another day, but somehow he does it. And we need to kind of make like a wall behind him to keep him upright, because he really is our hope. And I believe in the American people that they will keep that hope alive. So yeah, a lot of positivity and optimism for me. And also, you know, a reminder to listeners that you're never on your own. And don't feel alone, because, you know, just me sat here in this little house in the countryside in England, we're right there with you as well, as are, you know, a good 20 million British people. So, yeah, we're one team. We're in this together, and we just have to keep holding on to each other, because we're really now, you know, facing the barrage. And I believe we can face it down.
Well, with voices like yours reminding especially Republicans and others who may get beaten down by the constant media narrative, it's inspirational. And it's the reminder, the reason I wear my Keep America Great hat around and get lots of silent nods and winks and whispers in my ear, gosh, you know, keep wearing that hat, I love it, etc., is because of exactly what you said. There is a huge, seething, silent majority out there. They won't talk to pollsters. They don't want to speak up and screw up their work or their family relationships. But when they get in that voting booth, they're going to send a message. And you're doing such a great job with that. You've got over 1 million followers now on Twitter. I want to encourage folks to follow you at the letters KT, KT Hopkins, on Twitter. There's a great pinned tweet there. You're having a little fun there with Meghan Markle. And it's brilliant, and everybody should go and retweet that and have a good laugh this morning. And I'll just
sometimes we need to giggle. I think that's the other thing, isn't it? I know you need to go to break, but sometimes we all just need to laugh because it can be hard out there, and I think laughter is a good medicine for all of us.
I will just tell you, I'm a little hurt that I've gone from being your fourth future husband to now maybe your fourth or fifth. But I understand it's been 2 weeks, so you've been out there meeting a lot of folks.
A girl's got to move on. Yeah, keep going, pacey.
It really was a lot of fun to have you here, and I hope we get you back in the States real soon. I know there's something being planned, and we'll get the word out here at 710 KNUS.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for your time,
Katie.
And I hope you all have a great day.
You bet. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines now, 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Congressman Ken Buck is coming up at 7 o'clock. What questions would you like asked of the congressman today? We will definitely talk about his decision to not join with 176, I think, is the number of Republicans who made the attempt, the effort to censure Adam Schiff. What's happening in Colorado? He's also your state chairman of the Colorado GOP. That and so much more if you stick around. It's the Peter Boyle Show, continuing on a Wednesday with Randy Corcoran here, 710 KNUS.
We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
Back on a Wednesday, October 23rd, still, dark 30 outside. But 43 degrees, we're still heading downward with snow scheduled to start around 6 or 7 p.m. tonight, 70 or 80% chance, according to the latest weather. We'll get back to 65 on Saturday, so, you know, Halloween is just around the corner. We know what happens in Colorado on Halloween. Let's see, what is the schedule now? Tomorrow, Stephen Tubbs, I think, will, now that he's back in town, he will have the con here. Peter Boyle's back on Friday. And I think, unless things got jarbled, that Craig Silverman will take care of the Stephen Tubbs Show tomorrow afternoon. So that's what you have to look forward to. And while we've got a few minutes, let's get to some phone calls. We'll start with Joe in Littleton. Joe, good morning. Welcome.
Morning. I want to know why Ken Buck didn't vote for the censorship. I want to know why, as the leader of the Colorado Republican Party, they don't give us something to fight for. I know what AOC stands for. I know what Elizabeth Warren stands for, and they fight for it. What does Ken Buck stand for? What does Cory Gardner stand for? Oh, well, they'll give you lip service, but when it comes to the rubber meeting the road, they're not doing anything. They're not doing a damn thing. And I want to know, does Ken Buck have plans after he gets out of Congress to go with the Brownsteins and work with his good buddy, the Honorable Stan?
Yeah, I'll probably stay away from Stan Garnett. You know, I have worked with plenty of lawyers who I've are strongly opposed politically to, that are still decent and fine people. I don't know enough about that circumstance to get into personalities. But the issues you're talking about, Joe, the Colorado GOP, where's that fire? People aren't feeling it. Where's the money? What is the plan? Did you just hear the interview we did with Katie Hopkins? Joe?
No. I just got on the radio. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Did you hear the interview with Katie Hopkins?
That you did? No.
Okay, just finished. Her message was so perfect for so many of these Republicans, and I'm not lumping Ken Buck into this crew, not yet, but so many of the Republicans who are out there. We can't wait. It seems like we've lost you, Joe. I'm sure so. I'll put you back on hold, see if we can pull that up. Let's move to Steve in Arvada. Maybe we'll move to Steve in Arvada. There we go. Steve in Arvada.
You tell him if I want anything out of him, I'm going to kick it out of him.
Steve?
You tell him that for me.
Stell, who? Who are we talking to? Who are we talking
Steve.
About? Yeah. Who are we going to tell Steve, you're on the air, brother.
Okay, right on. Look, if I want anything out of Ken Buck, I'll kick it out of Ken Buck.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because he's a loser. He doesn't want to censor Adam Schiff, but he votes to censor our president over the Syrian troop withdrawal. I'm a former Republican neighborhood captain, and I'm a former RNCC and RNSC contributor. Emphasis on former, because I called them yesterday, both of them, because I couldn't get their silly unsubscription button on their website to work. And I told them, each of them, don't send me any more emails. All of my money that I'm going to donate is going to go to Mr. Trump. And Ken Buck and Tipton and Lamborn and all these other losers, I could care less if they get reelected to anything.
Well, see,
that's my message for Ken Buck.
I get it, and I understand the anger and the frustration, but when push comes to shove.
No. You don't understand it. But people will soon understand it.
Well, I can feel it. I can hear it in your voice. But my question to you is, if you're supporting Donald Trump, then doesn't that mean that we have to surround him with the best Republicans we have an opportunity to vote for?
Wait. Dude, come on, Randy. 129 out of 189 went against him. Now, let me finish this point. This is important. 129 out of 189 Republicans voted to censor our president over the troop withdrawal in Syria. Do they realize that 57% of Republicans supported that? So these guys don't care. They don't care about what Republicans say. They don't care about what Democrats say. They don't care, I'd venture to say, what you say. And they damn sure don't care what I say. They care about what they say.
What good will it do us to elect the president if we don't have a Republican majority in the Senate to at least continue to put judges
it hasn't
on the
done
bench?
So far.
Sure, it has.
It hasn't done anything so far.
150 plus judges is pretty darn good. The tax cuts have been pretty darn effective. There's been a lot of.
We don't elect them to just pick and choose the things we elected them for. We elected them to represent all of our interests, not a portion of them. Not some of the ones, not the ones they like, not the ones that are palatable to them.
So answer my question. If Donald Trump does not have a United States Senate majority,
doesn't matter.
Okay, well, you're missing the boat. You need to see.
I might be missing the boat, but I think that some of your questioning should be directed to Mr. Buck, who's a loser, by the way. I hope he's in the studio right now so he can hear me. Ken Buck, you're a loser.
All right, Steve. Well, you've said your piece. And, this will be a fascinating part of my conversation with John Andrews in the 8 o'clock hour as well, because I get the anger. I get the frustration. I share in the anger and frustration. And yesterday was just another perfect example with the word lynching being such a horrible thing. Mitch McConnell, I was unfortunate choice of words, you know. It's outrageous in the face of Western civilization on the verge of collapse. You heard from Katie Hopkins what's happening in Great Britain right now. The people's voice is not being heard. Free speech is being shut down. Her children visited by police because she reports on a news event without commentary. This is where we're headed. And we have Republicans worrying about not even taking a minute to understand what the word lynching means or to refamiliarize themselves with the history of lynching. The worst lynchings against black people were done by the KKK and other Democrats. It's just outrageous, and I get it. And you have to get that off your chest. Talk radio is good for that. Keyboard warrioring is good for that. And then when push comes to shove, if you are serious about reelecting this president and giving him at least some tools to work with, then we're still going to have to vote for those Republicans, even the ones that we don't like. This is not the year to send, 2020 is not the year to send a message and say, don't care anymore, because we will waste the second 4 years of Donald Trump. if we don't give him majorities in both houses, weak as they might be. All right, let's take our break. 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Congressman and Colorado State GOP Chairman Ken Buck will join us at 7 o'clock. Between now and then, it is just you and I. So stay with us at 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710knus.com. Message and data rates apply.
We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
We've got some time for a few more calls. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Texters are unhappy. I agree with Steve. We need the Tea Party back from SK. A great call to Joe. My sentiments. Republican Party in Colorado needs some people who get why we support Trump. Screaming at Ken and Corey right now. Pull it together now. I hear you. It is very, very frustrating to see the incredible radio silence that seems to be occurring right now. It seems like our politicians, our party leaders do not understand that we are in a existential fight for the survival of Western civilization. Every word parsed, every action scrutinized and treated as a crime. And Republicans trying to walk that middle ground all the time, I guess maybe trying to please suburban soccer moms. I don't know. I just don't understand. I see lots and lots of moms and women at these Trump rallies. When I'm walking around in a Keep America Great hat, it is an equal number of men and women who will come up and say, gosh, keep that up. I wish I could wear mine. You know, comments like that. I know that's anecdotal. But why would you believe the pollsters? Why would you not see the incredible enthusiasm, energy, success, and results delivered by this president day after day after day and realize maybe that's what it takes now to win an election in 2019 and another election in 2020? Maybe that's the new approach, the old Mitt Romney, John McCain, gentlemanly wars, President Obama's an honorable man comments. Those don't work anymore. The Democrats have seen to it. And the Republicans who don't wake up and see it the other way are going to be losers. Colorado, Ted Trimble was on with George Brockler on this very show yesterday. And amazing honesty from this guy. He said right now if the vote were held, Cory Gardner would lose by double digits. There's no reason to think that that's untrue. When are we going to see the fight? Jim's been holding. Let's get him in before the top of the hour. Jim, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Randy. I just want to comment about one of the prior callers. Trump has accomplished these wonderful things in the first 2 years, and that's when we had a Republican Senate and a House. He hasn't gotten anything through since then as a result of anything he supports, they're against and they're stopping. You need their support. We need these guys because we can't get anything done, even if Trump is the president. And remember this, if it becomes a Democrat Senate, they're going to go for it and try to impeach this. So regardless of how spineless our representatives are, they have to be there for us, the Republicans, in order for Trump to get what he needs done.
And this is a reference back to caller Steve. And yes. Listen, it is important for these politicians to hear this frustration and this anger. And I get people thinking right now, I'm going to vote for this president, but none of these other squishy Republicans. Yeah. But I want to encourage everybody, if we are successful in reelecting this president, we have to send him all of the Republicans that are available to us. And there is no alternative in the state for the U.S. Senate to Cory Gardner.
Yeah, and I can only say this. Getting good Republicans starts out the ground game. We have to get the good guys up and bring them up. But we have what we have right now.
Yeah.
But I can see so many good Republicans coming through the system that are supporting of Trump. But it takes time. I'm disappointed. I really am in our congressman. And I don't even know. I don't see anything with Cory Gardner. I don't know what the guy is. I don't even know if he's our senator. It seems like he's just AOL so many times, and he's just not making himself known for this election.
Well, the time,
it's pretty disappointing.
The times you hear from him are when he's critical of President Trump's decision in Syria, or I don't know if we've heard from Cory on the word lynching. We certainly heard from Mitch McConnell, and if they have to stand, if they are so compelled to get their history wrong and jump into the left wing narrative about a word that Democrats used repeatedly back during the 1998 Clinton impeachments, so be it. Spend 20 seconds on that and then spend 2 minutes touting why everybody should be supporting the President of the United States, but they don't do the other part.
No. Well, it's because the news narrative has to go with that one, because that's where they want it to go, and the Republicans fall right into the trap. And, unfortunately, they're not smart enough to redirect. And that really is a bad situation with these Republicans, because that's what the narrative they want to have out there. Instead of saying, yes, this, he's referring to, this is totally legal. They're just trying to screw our president. And, that's what he's referring to. That's what he's referring to. Whatever word he uses, they are just trying to hamper our president. They're trying to take him away from us because they see the success he is. Just from these rallies alone, people are supporting him. They're not supporting Mitch McConnell.
Last night at Colorado State University, massive turnout for Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump Jr., in spite of the president trying to tamp down enthusiasm, in spite of the leftist students coming out, threatening protests, threatening Antifa, distancing themselves from TPUSA. People have got to see the huge number of individual donors that are making record fundraising gains for the President of the United States. We could get everybody hyped up in that enthusiasm and that excitement. Why Republicans have to keep, popping more and more Trump balloons, I just don't get it.
Let me ask you this, Randy. What if Trump came here, what do you think it would be like?
Oh, it'd be insane. It would be insane.
I agree.
You could put him in Mile High Stadium and fill the place.
I would go in a minute. Yeah. I would wait in line just to see him, because I am just so proud of our president.
Yeah. With you, Jim. Well, thanks for waiting, and thanks for weighing in. We've got to hear those voices. Washington, D.C. politicians have to hear those voices. So, so, so very important. All right. Coming up in the next segment, it is Congressman and Colorado State GOP Chairman Ken Buck joins us live at 710 KNUS.